In the Lord. But before we get into that, I have an announcement to make, I want you to know that God is with us, God is for us. But early this week, I got a call from Christian Life Center stating that a full cash offer had been given for the property. If the sale goes through, the closing will be at the end of May, and the only thing that's stopping is an inspection. So we're still trusting God. And we know that God is with us no matter what. We know that if we stay here, God is with us, but it looks like we may be going on to a new adventure, but we're going on together as a New Beginning Family Christian Center. We trust that God holds us in His hands. We have been looking into contingency plans and trust that the Lord will lead us. Our church will move forward, and I believe that God will continue to bless people's lives. I'm grateful for everyone's support. Our building fund will continue to grow as we look forward to what is in store for us in the future, and I believe God will continue to hold us in His favor. We're excited to see where God is taking us. This is not the end of a new beginning, but it's just another phase in its life and its history. We wish you all could be here so that we could talk to you in person, but that's not possible, and we wanted to get this out to as many people as possible. We just are so grateful that you're here for us. Wish could hug your neck this morning, but we'd have to give you an elbow bump instead. But anyway, we just trust God through this whole thing. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Again, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs and the third chapter. And we've been reading these particular verses for a while in a church, and we're going to read it out of the New King James Version, and then we'll get on with what God has for us this morning. But it says this in verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." I'm going to go a little further. "Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." It's so easy to get wrapped up into the culture and the way things are going on the earth, but the fact is that if we're born-again Christians, if we know that God is God, that we can trust in Him. We can trust in Him. And it's interesting, trust in the Lord. And for us in English, we just kind of go through the Lord, but this word is Jehovah, and it means the existing one. It means the one who was, who is, and will be. It means that God is with us, and He's for us, and it's the same God who created the heavens and the earth, and He's here for you, and He's here for us, so we have nothing to be afraid of because God is with us. It's interesting, I looked up the word trust, just doing a little Google search, and it means to have a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Let me read that one more time. It's a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, and the ability or strength of someone or something. If we're trusting in the Lord, it means that we believe in His reliability. We believe in who He is. We believe in what He can do. And again, it's His strength and not our strength that we stand in. I know some of us are facing a little bit of hard time, maybe financially, but God is good. It's really remarkable that through this time, even all of America has been very generous in this time and looking out for one another. And that's good, but you're not alone. You can trust in God. You can trust in the Lord. And the Bible has a lot to say about trust. Trust and faith are in the same family, but they're kind of a little bit different. Our faith is in believing what God has said, but our trust is, even when I don't understand it, even when I can't figure it out, even when it doesn't make sense to me, Lord, I'm going to put You at the center of my life, and I'm going to trust You anyway. Glory to God. And He's trustworthy, let me tell you. He's trustworthy. That scripture that I quoted when I was praying, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread." time after time after time after time, God has been faithful to me, faithful to you, to see us through. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's so good. The Bible also says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. If our steps are ordered of him, then we can trust he knows where we're going to be tomorrow. He knows where you're going to be tomorrow. He knows when you're going to go back to work. He knows when the economy is going to explode. He knows what's going to happen in your life. You can trust him with your heart. You can trust him with your life because he's a good God. He loves you so much, and he's for you. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen to what Job said. If you turn back to the book of Job, and a place not many people go very often, but the book of Job. And if you remember Job was stricken with boils and different things, and he was a pitiful mess. He was really rich. All his riches were taken away from him. His kids were taken away. But look at Job chapter 13, and we're going to go to verse 15. And this is what he said. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. In other words, even though he slays me, even if God chooses to allow me to die, I'm going to trust him even in my death. And isn't that true? We can trust God even with our lives, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when people, maybe they might leave too early, they might, you know, earlier than we think they should have left, or in circumstances that we don't think were favorable, but we can trust God in it. And Job is saying here, even if he slays me, I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to rely on his faithfulness. I'm going to rely on his strength. I'm going to rely on his plan. I know that I know that I know that if God is with me, who can be against me? Come on. God is for you. Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. God wants you to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can trust him. Go to Psalm 37, and this is probably familiar to a lot of us, but I want you to read this and begin to get an understanding of, wait a minute, do I really trust him? Am I really standing on him? The Bible says that those that fear him trust him. And fear means that we hold him in high esteem. We hold him in high regard. We have reverence for him. We have awe for him. But those that really fear God, those that have him in high esteem, those that are looking to him, have trust in him. They know that he'll never let them down. Psalm 37, and we're going to go to verse 3. 37, verse 3 says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings the wicked schemes to pass." Listen, we don't have to trust anybody else. We don't have to look at what's going on around us. We don't even have to worry about the economy. We don't have to worry about what the neighbors are saying. We need to just get to a place where we're trusting in God completely. Come on, he's trustworthy. He's got our back. Listen, I want to read that again. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. We have to trust that God is going to bring the desires to our heart, and then those desires will be fulfilled. Amen? We just trust him completely. Come on. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our praise. And I'm telling you today, you can trust him. You know, you've had politicians and other people say, car salesman, trust me. And you weren't very smart if you did. But with God, we know that we can trust him. We can trust him, even when it doesn't make sense. Come on, I'm talking about life circumstances. I'm talking about when your life is messed up and things seem to be going against you, and even people are making decisions around you that are affecting you, and it just doesn't make sense to you. The promises seem to be far off. Listen, you got to come back to the simplicity of, I'm going to trust in God. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on, I'm going to trust Him for everything. Look, I may not have a paycheck last week, but God is going to come through somehow, some way. And I'll tell you, if you begin to look at yourself and look at your past and watch what God has done in your life, you can be, wait a minute, God's got this. God is bigger than whatever we're going through. Glory to God. God knows how to get to His people, and His promises will come to pass. It will be true for you. Now go to Psalm 115. Glory to God. I want you to trust God. I want you to say with your mouth, I trust God. Come on, say it right now. I trust God. I trust God. God, you are trustworthy. Forgive me for ever being in a place where I was vacillated from that. But even today with my life exactly the way it is, if nothing else changes, Lord, I trust you. Even if it came to the place, Lord, where everything that could go wrong would go wrong, I'm going to trust you in the midst of it because, God, you are still God. Hallelujah. Psalm 115, and we're going to go to verse 9. It says, O Israel, trust in the Lord, for He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. What does that mean? That when God comes to you and when you're in God, He's your helper. He is your helper. Glory to God. He's the one that's going to come by. He's going to strengthen your hands. He's going to strengthen your voice. He's going to strengthen your heart, and He will help you. Come on. We can know that the God who is Lord of everything, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the one who has put the stars in place, He's counted the hairs on your head, He knows where you are, He knows what you have need of, and you can trust Him with you. So it comes to a place, I'll just be honest with you, where you've got to fight in your mind when doubt, when fear, when unbelief start to come knocking at your door. You got to say, no, Lord, I'm going to trust in you no matter what. You know, when we're going through this, the situation with the property, and even as I got the call, been thinking about it this week, you know, my mind's been going all over the place. But sometimes it's easy to get to, well, what did I do wrong? What should I have done? God, what, you know, we were believing you, what happened, all of that. And the reality of that, that's a waste of time. Because the devil's going to beat you up and keep you under condemnation. But the bottom line is no matter how many times you've fallen down, if you just call upon the name of Jesus, you ask for forgiveness for your mistakes, we can know that we know that we know that God is with us and that we can trust Him. Come on. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Come on. That's what we need to do. We need to understand that He's going to direct our path. He's going to take care of us. He's going to find us out. Now let's go to Isaiah 26. And again, another passage of Scripture that people quote all the time. But I don't want you to just quote this. I want you to put this in your heart and in your mind today. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yahweh the Lord is the everlasting strength. Come on, we can trust God. We can trust God. But look at again what he says. It's so important that we get this point down. It says in verse 3 that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. That means that God will keep you in perfect peace if you're entrusting him, if you're putting your faith and your confidence in him. It's interesting. I heard this many years ago, but it's something that conjures something up that I think is a helpful tool. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. In the Hebrew language, there's no real word for mind, but this was the translation that they gave. Now watch this. It says, perfect peace whose mind, this word mind is imagination. It means if you can imagine God with you, if you can picture in your mind who God is, if you can picture him talking to you, if you can picture him being with you, if you can picture him in the midst of your circumstances being the one to carry you through, then peace can be the result of you always keeping him in the back of your mind. Come on, that's so good. Is God for you? Yes, he is. Is God all-powerful? Yes, he is. Is God everywhere? He's everywhere. He knows your every need. And the Bible says that he'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So why can we trust God? Because he's given us his word, and he's faithful to his word. He'll never, ever, ever, ever go outside of his word. Glory to God. We must believe that he is our strength and he's sufficient for us. Come on. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He's talking about his thorn and about the trials he was going through. God, this was God's answer. My grace is sufficient for you. Glory to God. My grace. Again, we could go through many definitions of grace, but the reality is grace is God gives us things because he wants to give it to us. It's out of his beautiful, wonderful heart that he allows us to have what we need. And grace is not grace if it's something that you've earned or that God owes you. God owes you nothing, but you can trust in his grace for you because God is with you. Glory to God. I just need you to know that his grace is sufficient for you. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Glory to God. I'll tell you, I've been in places where, Lord, I don't know what's going to come out of this. This doesn't even make sense. My life seems to be over. My life seems to be a ruin. God, it seems like I failed you, you know, been through situations where it seemed like things wouldn't work out, but God has never let me down. He's never failed me, and we just know that we know that we know that we can trust him because of who he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. We often look at this as provision for money, but I'm telling you, this grace encapsulates every promise that God's given to us. If he's promised us his peace, then he is able to make that grace abound toward you. And that doesn't mean just a little. You're not the last kid at the table and you're just going to get the crumbs that nobody else is eating. God has abundance for you. He abundantly wants to grace you with his word. It's so good. It's so good. God needs you to understand that he's for you. Many, many times I've seen God's grace work in financial areas, emotional areas, and every area across the board. But we have to trust that God is able and that God is willing and that God wants to bless us. So no matter what we're facing, what we're going through, we know that God is with us. I remember years ago we're going on a mission trip and you know, people said, well, I believe God wants me to go. And you're just shaking your head. You're going, there's no way they can get the money together. I mean, we're helping them with food and rent all the time, and yet they want to go. But God spoke to them to go, and they trusted that God would come through, and he absolutely came through. Because your brain will tell you one thing, but when your heart is toward God, he'll motivate you to go beyond what your ability is to do because he wants to get the glory through your life. Glory to God. Years ago, we rented a camp for all the foster care kids in the county. Let me say that again. All of the foster care kids in the county were able to come at no charge to them. We rented the whole facility, and we were just really small. I mean, at that time, I was having a tough time paying the mortgage and my salary. There were months or weeks, whatever, that I didn't get my salary, and we had to catch up later, but God always came through. But that was the position that we're in. But somebody came to me and said, I believe God wants us to do this. And the first thought was, there is no way, absolutely no way, because they gave me the figure that they thought it would be. I went, oh, my Lord. But I was careful to say, no, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to pray about this first before I say, no way. We prayed, God, for 2 years in a row, we were able to do that and bless the foster care kids. Every one of them got a Bible. Every one of them heard the gospel. Every one of them was blessed. We gave them toys. We gave them all kinds of prizes. Glory to God, because God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So don't look at your circumstances under the limitations of what you have. Don't look at the circumstances under the way things are, the way people are telling you there's no way out. You've got to begin to trust that God is with you, that God is for you. You need to say in the midst of your circumstances, Lord, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding, but in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, and you'll direct my path. Glory to God. I believe God wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's for you, that he's with you. Come on. There's something so settling for the heart when we get to the place where, God, I'm pushing past what my mind is saying. I'm pushing past what the devil is trying to tell me. I'm pushing past all of my limitations, and I'm coming to trust and rely in your strength at work in my life. See, I believe that's what God has for you. I believe God's got you in the palm of his hands. But there's a part that you have to play. You have to come and you have to trust God. You have to fear God and you have to trust him. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews chapter 3. Now, this particular portion of Scripture is talking about how Israel didn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief, and how that they had to walk in the wilderness for a long time simply because their unbelief really boiled down to they didn't trust God. They didn't trust what God said. And watch this. What you're saying out of your mouth is a great indicator of whether you really trust him or not. If you remember the story about the spies that went into the land, all of them had a bad report and they were coming. Yeah, it's just like God said, but there are giants in the land. You got any giants in your life today? I'm telling you, quit looking at the giants and look at the promises of God, because the only two that actually entered into the promised land were the two that had the good report, that trusted God. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled, indeed it was not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses. Now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Unbelief is really a symptom of not trusting. And when we don't trust, we can't enter into rest. And so if we're restless, it's a good indicator that we're not trusting God completely. Now, I know that there's going to be fights in your mind, but you've got to fight and take every thought captive and bring it back into the obedience to the Word of God. If God said he's for me, I'm not letting anybody talk me out of, even myself, that he's not for me. I can look at myself, you can look at yourself, and you could say, how could God love me? Because I know all of my mistakes. I know all of my shortcomings. I know things about me that nobody else knows, right? I know thoughts that I've had that nobody else knows. He knows them all, but he still loves you. He still loves me. He's still the one that's saying, get up, come on, come on. I want you to get up. I want you to trust that my mercy is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is towards you, and I'm not against you. I'm for you. Glory to God, I feel his anointing so much. The glory of God is coming to the earth at this time. The church needs to trust him in the midst of the circumstances. If it takes a supernatural move of God to provide for you, you've got to trust that he'll do it. But you're not going to receive the promise until you rest in the fact that he said it and he'll give it to you. Glory to God. Come on, there's some out there right now. I'm talking to somebody right now who's depressed. And the reality is that you need to get the right things in your mouth and begin to talking God up instead of your problems up. Talk your problems and your giants down and talk your God up. Begin to say how big he is, how good he is, how merciful he is, how loving he is. And he's not just that to somebody else. He's that to me because he gave his son for me. Glory to God. Jesus came and died so that you could enter into the rest that he has for you. Come on, you can trust him. You can trust him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at, this is so good. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains for entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, listen, if God has absolutely put rest as a promise and for us to understand that we can trust him, then we need to be in a place where, man, I'm afraid of missing it. I'm afraid of missing it. I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss this rest. I want to work toward rest. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, but really it is. I want to continue to strive to keep my eyes on him, to keep my face toward him, to keep my understanding with him. Glory to God. Look at verse 2. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, I swore in my wrath they shall not enter the rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What's that saying? That God is for you. The gospel is still true. Here's what the gospel is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that, listen, we all need a savior. We all are in a place where we're not perfect in ourselves. We can't do it on our own. Our strength can't come just from our ability to get over or to get by. We have to come back to the place where if God is for me, who can come against me? We need to enter the rest by trusting what God has said about you. Begin to find the promises that he has for you. This is a time when fear has overtaken the whole nation, the whole world, about a bug, and it's a serious thing, but a bug, it's reshaped our whole lives. We're sitting at home, we're doing all of these things, we're not meeting together, because of this bug. I'm telling you that God is bigger than the boogeyman. You can trust him. You can trust him. He's going to see you through. And watch this. If we really truly believe the gospel, then what do we have to be afraid of? Zero. Zilch. Nothing. Why? What's the worst thing that could happen to you? You could die. That's going to be the best day of the believer's life. The second that they let the last breath of air out here on the earth is when they enter into heaven, into an eternity full of peace, full of joy, full of the presence of God. I'm telling you, we've got a lot to shout about. We've got a lot to be encouraged about. But I want you to know today that you can trust him. So let's close with this. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I know that many of us know these verses, and we might even have a picture on the wall, you know, painted, you know, or calligraphy or something, needlepoint or whatever, you know, putting the verse. But the verse on the wall doesn't do you good. It doesn't do you. It's the word that you put in your heart. It's the word that you trust God with. Now watch this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. God, I'm giving you all of my heart right now, and I'm going to trust you with it. God, I just praise you and I worship you and I thank you, Lord. I trust you with my health. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with my eternity. I trust you with my children. I trust you with every possession that I have. Father, I just release that into your care and lean not unto my own understanding. Sometimes my thinking is the worst enemy that I have because it takes me to places that I don't need to go. So, Lord, if you said something, I'm going to trust that instead of the thoughts that are coming to me. And in all my ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Listen, how do we acknowledge God? We acknowledge God by praise and worship. We acknowledge God by just remembering that he's there. He's with us. He won't leave us or forsake us. Have conversations with him 24 hours a day. When a thought comes to your mind, talk to God about it. Say, now, God, this is kind of contrary to what you said. I just trust you and I believe that you're going to come through in the midst of this situation. We can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. We can acknowledge him and he will direct our path. I refuse to be wise in my own eyes, but I'm going to fear the Lord, depart from evil. Come on, because it's health to all your flesh and it's strength to all your bones. You can trust, rely on, and just be full of assurance that God is for you today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me pray for you as we close. Father, I thank you that if there's anyone that's listening to this broadcast and has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I would ask that you would speak to their hearts right now. Show them, Lord. Holy Spirit, draw them for their need for you. Let them know that all of us need a Savior. And Jesus, just make yourselves real to them. And if that's you today and you want Jesus to become Lord of your life, the Bible said just call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. So right now, just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I trust that you love me. If you want to take me just the way I am, Lord, I'm coming to you completely. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross but were raised the third day. And I just give you all the praise. I give you my life right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those that are tormented by fear right now, I command and demand that the enemy take his hands off of you in Jesus' name. I rebuke fear in Jesus' name. Fear cannot have control of you. I just command the spirit of fear to be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to heal bodies, bless people, touch their finances, God. And at the end of the day, Lord, we've decided to trust you in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you again on Wednesday night, if not before. If you need anything, and especially if you have any questions concerning the announcement that I made at the beginning, give me a call. Again, my phone number, I'll just give it to you. It's 360-731-6068. You can call me anytime you want to. We'll be happy to discuss it with you. God bless, and we'll be letting you know what our plans are going forward, but we're trusting God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.